Good morning. Greetings in the name of Christ this morning. It's good to be with you. I love that song. It's one of my favorites. I think David and I share that. How many of you have learned a second language? It wouldn't be something that you learned as a mother tongue, but something that you learned when you were later in life. How many of you have gone through that experience? There's an interesting fact that linguists tell us about people who learn a second language. And what happens is that people learn a language to a certain point, and they say it takes about 3,000 words to have a working knowledge of a language. That's not fluent. The American or the English language has over 1 million words. A lot of those are medical terms and so on, so there's not you don't need it to know 1 million words to say that you're fluent in English. But you should know at least 3,000 words to get by. Well, what happens to people is that they reach a certain point, a certain threshold, and it's good enough. And we can make ourselves understood, might be using the wrong pronouns, might be using the wrong forms of the verbs, might only have a few key adjectives and adverbs, but we can bludgeon our way through most conversations if we gesticulate enough. And there we stop. And people will go into another culture, say into a Spanish-speaking country, and will learn pidgin Spanish, and will be there 20 years and never advance past that level. And it's simply good enough. And how good is good enough for us when we're talking about our relationship with the Lord? How many of us would say that we want a vibrant relationship with God? How many of us want a life that is filled with this power of the Spirit? How many of us want to be able to find peace and stability in challenging situations? How many of us want to experience the full joy of salvation and the new life? Well, we say, well, all of us do. That's something that we all want. Well, what's stopping us? It's us that's stopping us. The power is there. The joy is there. The new life is there. And Jesus gives us this. It's there for the taking. So many times we simply do not reach out and take it. I'm going to read a series of scriptures this morning. Mostly what I'll be doing is reading scriptures that talk about this. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Can you hear the longing, the desperation that David is experiencing here for God? Do I experience that? Or is what I'm experiencing good enough? Am I content with my 3,000 words? Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So many times we ourselves are the limiting factor in what God can do in our lives. There's an incredibly sad scripture in Luke, it's also in Matthew, that when Jesus is talking about Jerusalem, and he says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. You would not. Are we doing the same thing to God sometimes? He just wants us to come close to him, and we don't want to. Too much of a challenge. I was talking with somebody the other day, and a very interesting person, and he was talking about vehicles. Now, this is a confession, I guess, for somebody who is a contractor. If it has four wheels, if it drives, if it pulls what it's supposed to pull, that's really all I'm interested in. It can have a little blue oval, or it can have a Chevy symbol or Dodge. Doesn't really it's not really all that crucial to me. And, you know, I know Justin has got a beast of a Cummins. Our Cummins is not a beast of a Cummins. It's just a stock Cummins. And it pulls what it's supposed to pull. But this person that I was talking to was telling me all the things about this vehicle. That it's so easy to turn this up. And did you know that if you remove the DPF, then it will vastly increase the power and the fuel mileage of this truck and so on. Well, not of our truck, but a newer model. Anyway, all very interesting things to me. And, you know, who wouldn't want to have more power? And then, you know, I've got great respect for this person. Don't take it that way. But this is one thing he said, and I thought about it in the way it applies to us in Christian life. He said it just drives him crazy if he doesn't understand something about a vehicle. There's something about a system in a vehicle. If he doesn't understand it, it just bothers him until he researches it and figures it out, and now he knows how it is. But he said for him to actually do it, he hates it. He hates to get greasy. He hates to skin his knuckles, and he hates to lose bolts and find them again. He hates it. That's a little bit the way we try to approach God sometimes too, isn't it? We want to understand. We want to know. And yet our Christian life is a drudgery. We don't have the... We want the blessings of an intimate relationship, or the knowledge that an intimate relationship with God gives us. And yet we don't find the joy somehow in the actual performing of that. Is my walk with God bringing me joy? And I will say this, that can be a symptom of approaching God wrongly if your Christian life is not bringing you joy. If it is a drudgery, if it is something that isn't bringing you a real sense of joy, you may need to rethink it. Am I where God wants me to be? Does Christ actually have me, or am I trying to follow him self-righteously and in obedience without power? The Bible talks, too, about people who sought God, and God was not available to him. And why was that? Isaiah 28, verse 12 says this, "For by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people, to whom he has said, 'This is rest. Give rest to the weary.' And this is repose, yet they would not hear." They wouldn't hear. They didn't seek. And then, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall you be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not." So God reaching out and trying to give people rest, and they don't want it. But then, all of a sudden, it changes around. And now we desperately want God. We are in a bad situation. And now Jeremiah 29, verse 19 says, "Because ye have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord." It says that he's not going to hear us. Now we want the end result, don't we? But sometimes we aren't willing to go the distance that takes us there. We want peace, we want joy, we want love. And yet that comes at a price, comes at a sacrifice. The other day, well, it wasn't just the other day, it must have happened early this spring. There was a couple of sculptors who had a piece of property in Germany. And they're going to be setting up a little show of the work that they had done and out by the road. And when they were setting this up, they discovered a hole in the ground close to where they were placing this. And near the pile of dirt that was out of this hole, there was a pelvic bone. And what had happened, a badger had created a den there and had, in his excavations, had pulled this pelvic bone out of the ground. And they recognized it as being human. And so they called some archaeologists, and it was the find of the decade. Found a huge burial ground with Slavic chieftains from way back, and all kinds of buried treasure there that this badger had unearthed. I think sometimes God gives us opportunities just like that. God gives us there's something that we notice. Maybe it's an opportunity to witness, or it's an opportunity to step up for God. And these opportunities, if we leave them, they will never be utilized. And another thing that I wonder about, at least, will God ask us about those missed opportunities someday when we were too busy or unprepared or unaware, but they were right there? Will God ask us about those things? We must be in tune with God to realize the potential of the opportunities that face us. And these people, they took advantage. They themselves weren't archaeologists, but they called the archaeologist. And the archaeologist came out and completed this dig. Sometimes we also aren't able to handle a situation by ourselves. But yet we can seek help. So many times I think we look at people whom we admire and we say, that's what I want. They've got love and they've got joy and they've got peace. Just look at them. In a stressful situation, they handle it easily. Or, I know she's going through terrible times, and yet look at the cheerfulness that she has. And so we buckle down and we are going to be cheerful. And we just try as hard as we can. Or we try to be try to be loving to somebody who is being prickly, or whatever it is, we try to follow that person, which is all well and good, I suppose, and yet too many times we don't go and try to find out what the secret was behind that person's strength or success. And in the Christian life, the secret, if you can call it a secret, it's not a secret, but it's a source of strength, is Christ. And everything else has to be secondary, even if it's important. Let's never let the things that we do that are periphery to relationship with Christ take first place. It's all about Christ. When it's all distilled down, it has to be about Christ. And if He isn't the first consideration, we never will experience true strength, true life, true joy, true power, and really have the Spirit of God in us. Jesus said this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Do you want that treasure? Sell everything you've got. We have to sell out for Christ. Everything. Now that's what's terrifying sometimes about really following Christ. Is that, what might he ask of me? Are you willing to make that sort of commitment? Whatever it is, Lord, I want that treasure. I don't care what it is. I want that treasure. I'm going to give everything else up. It's so much easier for me to say, well, how can I conform to the appearance of Christianity? How can I take on a few of the attributes of people whom I admire? So much easier. Really? It's not what we want, is it? It doesn't do any good. The appearance of righteousness will not give us the results of righteousness. The only way to life is Christ. Let's seek Him above all else. He's a source of strength, and we are saved to serve Him. What do you want? Let's seek Christ. Let's desire Christ above all else. And He has riches far greater than we can ever believe as we seek Him. Let's kneel for prayer.